This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, April 4, 2023, and here we are, the second day of the second quarter. Now, if you remember right, I've been telling you all first quarter that I don't think the first half of this year is going to be very good for the stock market. I think the stock market will start to recover in the second half sometime, even though I think the economy might be weaker in the second half. Remember, the stock market and the economy are connected, but they don't move exactly the same times, up and down, or economy doesn't get stronger and the stock market gets better. The stock market will move before the economy. So that's my thinking. And it still hasn't changed. The cycles of the economy and the stock market are important to learn. Now, I realize the stock market is doing a little bit better in the last month or so, but I'm not thinking this is a permanent move up or we've actually may have seen the bottom. We may have. I mean, no one really knows. I don't know for sure. I just go by my experience that tells me that we probably are not done with this poor stock market we're dealing with. But I think we will be by the end of the year. I'm Steve Peasley. I'm here to help you on this radio program and podcast. And that help is in the form of answering your questions and providing you some guidance as what to do with your portfolios. How should you manage them? Do you understand the risks involved? Or a question about anything financial, we'll talk about it. Okay? So that's what we're here for. I have no agenda. I'll provide unbiased answers to all questions. And, you know, I'm just hoping that we all will learn something. I learn quite often from the callers about various things. So, you know, if you want to share something financial, you can share that with me too. I like that. Be happy to. And if you're a serious investor, you need to be prepared and take lessons to heart and apply them carefully. Because things change all the time. So, if you want to make money in the stock market, the one major thing you need is a lot of patience. And you need to understand how the market and economy work and how they work in conjunction with each other. It's you know, I can state that very simply, but that is a mouthful of very difficult things to learn, okay? So this is going to be a lesson, like it is every day on this show, a lesson to help you become a successful investor. I want to do that. We like doing it. That means you got to call and ask your questions. 888-99-CHART is the number, 888-992-4278. And, of course, I got lots of material to cover, as I usually do. Justin and I always have material. My focus point today, what's causing the sudden price jump in home prices? Because we had a nice little jump. In December and January, mortgage rates began pulling back, and home buyers came in, surged into the market. We'll talk about that. Time permitting, I also have some other topics. Gas at the pump will rise because of OPEC's cut. How much do you think it's going to go up? I have an idea. I think it's not going to be as bad as many people are suggesting, but I don't think. Well, we'll share that. J.B. Morgan thinks we are in a period of the calm before the storm. He's talking about stocks. Probably, I kind of agree with him on that. That's why I picked it out. Tesla has record sales for the first quarter, okay, and the increase in deliveries, 4.3%. But I see trouble ahead. Why? That's what we're going to talk about, too. Got lots of things to talk about. So I see we have some caller voice bank questions ready to play. Someone wants to talk about a bond ladder. Someone wants to talk about a treasury bond ETF. And I have iTunes review questions too. So we'll get to those, I promise. I hope so, anyways. It is Tuesday, so I'll have a new trivia question at the halfway mark of the show, of the podcast. So I've got all this planned. What do you want to talk about? You're the one that drives the show in the direction you want it to go. As long as it's financial, I am perfectly happy to let you drive the show. 888-99-CHART. So how'd the market do today? Well, it was down. The Dow was down 199, the NASDAQ down 63, and the S&P down 24. Was there a reason for that to be down? Not really. Really? I mean, not really. I mean, there's no, you know, I love it when, you know, I read articles, I listen to pundits say, well, the market's down because X, Y, Z. And sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not true. I think sometimes they just pick a very talked about topic and say that's what caused the market to go down or up. And it could be true, but they don't know that for a fact. That's just their guess, their opinion. And, you know, some of the people I follow are very smart and many times are right. But they're not always right. See, this is why I want you to learn and become independent in your thinking. Not rely on somebody else and their thinking. Your own thinking. Okay, 888-99-CHART. Let's go ahead and take our first voicemail.
Hi there. This is Daniel from Brooklyn. I'm curious of what you think of VBR, Small Cap Value ETF from Vanguard. I'm wondering whether you like it. I'm trying to work out which of the Small Cap Value ETFs to buy, and I've got other Vanguard stocks. I like that company, so I was thinking I'd go with VBR. Would love to know your thoughts. Thank you for the show.
Okay, that's a VBR, Vanguard Small Cap Value. Exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the CRSP Small Cap Value Index. And actually, it's done pretty well when you compare it with the rest of the market. It's down but for the year, but not very much. And I think it's a good, I think it's a good place to put some of your money, not all your money, not the majority of your money, just a certain percentage of your money should be exposed to small cap value. It pays a 2.2% dividend, which surprises me since small cap stocks, small capitalization stocks don't generally pay dividends. So they have a 2.2% dividend yield, and I would probably take a look at the top 10 holdings and see what they are and, you know, make up my own mind if I like those. But I do think the value side of the market is the place to be last year and this year, and we've been saying that for some time. And I still think that's where you want to be, not the growth part of the market, but the value side. So we're going to go to a quick break. If you're listening to via live stream, you can call now. Why not? Why not call? Or you can call anytime you want when the question comes to your mind. And you can leave it on our InvestTalk voice bank. You can do that. 888-99-CHART.
Thank you, and I hope to be the 50 millionth download of your incredible show.
It is official. As of February 21st, an exciting new InvestTalk milestone was achieved. The InvestTalk podcast exceeded 50 million downloads.
How do you guys determine a value stock?
50 million.
Just wanted to get your opinion on JP Morgan and BAC.
Hey guys, this is Josh from South Carolina. I'm a longtime listener.
24/7, rain or shine, on tough market days or during brighter moments. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley are ready to answer your questions.
Our now preferred share is kind of a hybrid asset. It's part of the capital structure.
You want to buy this when it's on sale, and when it gets on sale, it's about $16 a share.
50 million. InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. Steve Peasley is here and ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Home prices suddenly jump after several months of declines. So why? Because it's all based on the mortgage rates. It was all driven by the mortgage rate. Prices rose nationally about 0.1% in February when seasonally adjusted, according to Black Knight. In December and January, mortgage rates began pulling back and homebuyers surged in. Now, that's pretty typical. Now, rates are starting to rise again, it looks like, a little bit. But, you know, rates went from, what, a year ago, 4% to over 6%. And now, they about the high point, they got up to about 7%. But when they started cooling off, that's when you saw home buyers starting to come into the market. Okay, now the Fed raised another quarter point, and, you know, it looks like home prices are, you know, the sales will probably fall again because I don't think the Fed's done. But it was interesting. Price inflation over the last several years have really spiked in certain areas. But when the ones they spike the most are the ones where the prices are coming down still. Other places, prices are still gained a little bit. Like in the Midwest, Cincinnati, Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, the prices still rose. But in, let's say, Austin, Texas, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Seattle, San Francisco, prices are still coming down a little bit. Okay? So it's all the mortgage rates driving. Remember, the mortgage rate, you could have got a 3% mortgage rate if you were in the market or refinancing your house at one point. Couple 3 years ago, 2 years, 2.5 years ago, whatever it was. And I think most people did do that. That could do it. They did it. So now we're looking at mortgage rates, you know, 6.5-7%. That's still not that bad. I'm looking at it from a perspective of being old. And on my first house when I bought it, I paid 12.25% for a 30-year fixed mortgage. And I thought I had a bargain at that time. 12.25% for 30. Now that's ridiculously high, but that's what it was back then. And the housing market still was active. It wasn't nearly as active as it has been recent years, but it was still active and people didn't stop buying houses. But, you know, also house prices didn't rise like they've been rising. So anyways, that's what's happening out there. So we'll see. One of the problems we're dealing with is not just the mortgage rate. We also have a lack of inventory. And that's been a problem for a couple, 3-4 years, lack of inventory out there. So I think that's not going to go away for a while. Okay, let's keep moving on and answer some more questions from the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Keith here with a question for you on bond ladders. How do you build a bond ladder against a inverted yield curve? I'm assuming you don't go out beyond the point where the curve inverts, which right now I think is around 3 months. So that's my question. I'll listen for the answer. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You actually do. You're wrong. You do buy. If you're building a bond ladder, yes, you do buy longer than 3 months. You go out 3, 4, maybe 5 years. You're building a ladder. Now, why would you know? I know why you said that, because the interest rate yield is higher on a much shorter, you know, 3 month, 6 month, 1 year treasuries, where you make less money on the longer term, right? Right? Right. So, what happens 3 years from now, 2.5 years or 3 years, the Federal Reserve starts to lower. Or a year from now. What if the Federal Reserve next year starts to lower interest rates? Now, that lowering interest rates will affect short-term bonds immediately, but it may make the value of long-term bonds go up, depending on how aggressive they are when they lower rates. See, so you don't know where the rates are, and you're not, you know, I think they're going to still raise in the short term, but I don't know. When the economy really starts to slow down and they start to worry about slowing down too much, they're going to quickly reduce interest rates, the federal funds rate. And that will mean their three-month treasuries won't be paying very much, right? But what will happen is the value of your long treasuries will start to go up. The value will go up. The yield will be the same, but the values will go up. So, you know, you still stretch it out. Now, when you're building a ladder, you're having bond due come in 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. That's the ladder. That's the rungs of the ladder. You don't go out very far because because of the environment we're in, maybe 5 years, not longer. When interest rates start to fall, you start, you know, the long year, long bonds usually start to go up. And then you want to start buying longer bonds because the yields will probably go up as well. So, you know, that's why you build a ladder for because of the unknown. And those banks should have done that, and they would have been okay if they did, but they didn't. They just had long terms, which is stupid. We're going to take a quick break. My phone lines are open, at least the banks that went under. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. My trivia question is coming up, and today it's a fun question.
Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
Hi, InvestTalk host. Love the show. Been a long-time listener. I just had a question. I got about an emergency fund. I was thinking about moving my emergency fund, about 75% of it, into the ticker symbol is SGOV. It's a U.S. 1 to 3 month treasuries. And I was just checking to see if, you know, if that's a pretty safe way to make about 4.5% interest, give or take, on my emergency fund. And, you know, if interest rates go back down, I might pull it back out, but just kind of to get more than my bank, which I believe is like 0.0035%. Thank you.
The answer is yes. This is an ETF, SGOV. An ETF seeks to track the investment results of the ICE 0 to 3 month U.S. Treasury Securities Index. So it's extremely safe, pays a pretty nice return, much better than your money market. And, you know, it's pretty liquid. I mean, there's no, you can get rid of it, sell it anytime you want. So yeah, I think it's a good place to park emergency money and make, you know, some money on your money. You're still making much less than inflation, but at least you're making something much better than a savings account. So yeah, I do like it as a place to park, SGOV, a place to park some of your cash. Let's go to Alberto in San Jose. Hi, Alberto.
Hello, Steve. Thank you for taking my calls. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have tech stocks, Apple, NVIDIA, et cetera. I was wondering if I should just put them in the VGT ETF and let them grow there.
I think I would keep those two stocks you just mentioned, Apple and NVIDIA. Yeah, those are pretty high-quality, huge companies that I think have legs for the future. I mean, I think they will always do well for the foreseeable future. And the only benefit you have from going from those two stocks to VGT, the Vanguard Information Tech Sector, as an exchange-traded fund, is that it will give you more diversification, okay, than just those two stocks. You should never just own two stocks. It's not enough that for a proper diversification. But both those stocks, for long term, I like them both. I think they're both will probably outperform the market long term. Okay. So that
thank you.
So don't necessarily sell them necessarily. But I also like you to diversify as you're suggesting. So I like. So it's hard to answer that question. You can cut back a little bit and put that little cut back into VGT. I don't have a problem with that either. Just don't get rid of them wholesale. Okay. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, gas at the pump, gas prices at the pump is going to go up. It's going to rise. So I think the national average is like $3.50. I give you the prices every Friday, and I'll be doing it again this Friday. But it's like $3.50 something. I think that's going to go to $4. I really do, because of OPEC's cutting production. What really irritates me greatly is that we're relying on foreign oil when we don't have to. We still do. We don't have to. We have plenty of oil in the ground here in the United States. We just got to have we have to have an environment, a political environment that will allow us to get it out. Meanwhile, why, politically speaking, do we want to rely on oil from people that really don't like us very much? That makes no sense to me. But I don't want you to feel that the prices are going to go up. Maybe a barrel of oil is going to go to $100. That's possible. I don't think it is really, but it's possible. But I don't think that's going to, you know, ruin our economy. But it will do some of the work that the Fed is trying to do, and that's slow down our economy. The higher the oil prices, the more restrictive it is on our economic growth. So, you know, that's a concern or a consideration that the Federal Reserve has to take, that that's what's going to be a result of high oil prices. And I just think that we need to look out for ourselves. I do think we're going to look at from $3.50 to $4 a gallon on a nationwide basis. And that means here in California, you're probably seeing $5.50 per gallon here in California. So all you people out there not in California, you got to feel sorry for me because I had to buy gas. But that's just the way it is. I could always move. I could. And believe me, I've had many discussions with my wife about moving, but I really love the weather. Okay, trivia. It's Trivia Tuesday, everybody, so let's get to it. There isn't an infallible way to predict how the stock market may behave in the future. No one knows. Just because a stock is performing well one day or one month or even a year doesn't necessarily mean it will continue to do so going forward. But every now and then, it can be fun to play what if. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. How much money would you have today if you had invested $1,000 in Nike 10 years ago? I'll supply the answer after the break. My InvestTalk phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne. HackerOne.com. Now, each time I host the Invest Talk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your Invest Talk questions on the 24/7 anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I gave you a trivia question, kind of a fun one. How much money would you have today if you had invested $1,000 in Nike 10 years ago? Instead of picking stocks to invest in one by one, a more hands-off investment strategy, which is probably suitable for most investors, probably makes sense for most investors, is to buy, you know, index funds, ETFs or mutual funds, low-cost index funds. But everyone has a different risk profile, so some people buy index funds, but then have some extra cash and may want to buy one or two stocks. You can do that. It's okay as long as you don't buy too much. You have proper diversification. So with that in mind, I gave a fun question, okay? So it's kind of irrelevant, really. So here's the answer. Based on data from as late as 2022. So I'll start with 1 year ago. If you had invested $1,000 in Nike 1 year ago, your investment would be worth $908. You would have lost almost 10% as of March 22nd. Okay? If you invested $1,000 in Nike 5 years ago, your investment would have nearly doubled to $1,937 as of March 22nd. That's according to CNBC's calculations, by the way. And if you had put $1,000 Nike 10 years ago, it would have more than quadrupled to $4,293 as of March 22nd. Okay? So what does that tell you? Okay, so last year it's gone down 10%. But if you would have bought it and held on to it, so think about the future. Market has a tendency to always go up, but there's long periods. We have had a whole year here, market's down. If you're in growth stocks, it's down. You're down quite a bit. Value stocks are down, but not as much. So you have pain, but you know how, if you stay with it, the problem is people get out right at the bottom when they have the worst time to get out, but they feel the worst because they lost money in the market. Try not to react with your emotions. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Northern California. Yeah, Steve, I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it.
Well, I've been kind of looking at healthcare stocks lately, and I already owned AbbVie for some time, several years, and done well in it. And I was interested in Pfizer, but also in Johnson & Johnson, and I actually put an order in that didn't get filled the other day for J&J. But I picked up a little bit of Pfizer. But how do you think the healthcare at this time, are these good value stocks? Because they look that way to me. I'm interested in dividends.
Yeah, a lot of the healthcare stocks are at pretty good values right now. I think it's a good place to be looking. And I do like Pfizer, and I like Johnson & Johnson. Now, Johnson & Johnson is not the same as Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson is more of a broad-based healthcare provider, whereas Pfizer is drugs. You know, develops biopharmaceutical products that and other medicines and vaccines, okay? So they're a little bit different. They're a little bit different in the market. But you're looking at a Pfizer that's a PE, you know, the stock is $40.90, and you're going to make $3.88. That means it's, what, 11, 12 PE based on next year's earnings? Don't look back, because in 2022, they made $6.58, which, you know, is a lot. But a lot of that is from, you know, the COVID vaccines and stuff, which is going to disappear. But they also pay a 4% dividend. Johnson & Johnson now doesn't it makes drugs, but it also, you know, sells consumer stuff, shampoos and powders and all kinds of things. Okay, they're going to make $9.35 since it's $158 stock, so it's more expensive. So from a value point of view, I think Pfizer probably is a better value play. But both of them are very strong. I like Johnson & Johnson. You buy it when it's weak, and it looks pretty weak here. This is a pretty low price for Johnson & Johnson. Okay, but okay. Good luck with it, Bill. Either one of them. Okay,
thank you.
Let's go to Rapish in San Jose. Hi.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking calls. Appreciate what you do on the call for us.
You want to talk about BlackRock?
I'm looking at starting. Yeah, BlackRock and Blackstone. I'm trying to start a position in both. I was wondering, should I be equal weight in terms of dollar amount investing in these, or should I prefer one over the other, and what would be a good entry point for these?
Okay, BlackRock manages fixed income, cash, equity, alternative investments, products for institutions and individuals. It's a huge company, $100 billion company. Their earnings are going to be a little bit down, 3% down this year, but bounce back next year by 14%. That's the estimates. Pays a 3% dividend. Return on equity is very healthy at 14%. And it's a $659 stock, going to make $39.48. So we're talking, what, an 18 or 19 PE? And that's kind of in the middle of its range. So right now you can't say it's cheap, okay? But you can't say expensive either. You know, it's just fairly valued right where it is. I probably wait a little while before I jump into these financials. This, you know, this is a financial. BlackRock is a very well-run company. I think you might get a better price. I think it could get down to, you know, the low 500s, okay, $510, $520, maybe $530. And I would be a much more interested buyer then. That's what I would do. Appreciate the call, Rashid. Thank you. Let's go to Frank in San Rafael. Wants to talk about Schwab.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Steve. I've been listening to you since your original partner years and years ago.
Jerry
Klein. Yeah, and secondly, I'm wondering if you're going to retire. You're not on as long as you used to be.
Yeah.
And third, Schwab. I was wondering how they're going to do financially, because I heard rumors that they've been buying long-term, putting all their cash in long-term stocks, and I was wondering if that has any indication of how the company is.
Well, Schwab bought TD Ameritrade a year and a half, 2 years ago, and they're going to be combining those assets with them, and they're going to be one of the if not the largest discount brokerage in the world. I do like Schwab because of that. They're growing their money. They're going to grow 1% this year, but next year they're scheduled to grow earnings by 25%. Sales growth is pretty impressive. 30% in the most recent quarter, 26% before that, 13%. It's a $50 stock, going to make $4.91. That's 11 PE, and their range is 10 to 33. I like Schwab.
Okay,
I think it's a good price. Now, it's obviously was $80 a share not that long ago. Here it is at 50. To me, it might go down a little bit more, but man, this is a buy area in my mind. As long as you're a long-term holder and you don't mind holding it through the weakness, I think it's got some legs in the future. I do. So I kind of like Schwab. Schwab symbol, everybody, SCHW. And why I've been in and out, I've had some health problems the last 6 months that I think are behind me now. But I still, I am getting up there in age, and Justin's much younger than me, so it's just a natural consequence that he eventually will, take over more and more. But I do plan on being there for as long as I can. I don't really want to retire. It's not in me to retire, and I love doing the show, so I want to keep doing it. Okay, I appreciate the call. That was Schwab. Okay, Invest Talk, talking point. J.P. Morgan thinks we are in a period of the calm before the storm for stocks. And I kind of agree with them. I don't know if you saw it, but the job openings report was significantly less than it has been. We still have a lot of jobs open. We do. 9 point something million in the high 9 millions. It used to be over 10, so it came down. But I still think, we're going to see some soft spots in the stock market. And I'm agreeing with J.P. Morgan. They think the bank issues is not necessarily behind us, but it is going to slow down the economy because the banks are going to tighten up. You've heard me talk about that several weeks now. I've been discussing that. Oil prices going up by OPEC, and we really not doing anything to try to increase our own supplies. So that's probably going to stay the same. And just because we're going to, all these things we're dealing with, the economy is probably going to slow. Okay? And that's exactly what the Fed wants. And since they're not done cutting, I still think they'll raise rates another point or two, not a whole point, but another quarter point, maybe half a point, maybe three quarters of a point. I don't know. I just think that they're still on that. Until they see actual weakness in the market, well, when they see weakness in the market, the stock market will already have fallen. It'll be weaker. So that's why. There's very solid reasons. Now, the economy has been very resilient. Okay, I'll say that. Stock market hasn't really recovered from its bear market ways yet, and I don't think it is going to. And I did tell you, and I will tell you again, I've been telling you, I think the second half of this year. Last year I said it's going to be the second half of this year, and I still think that's true. Let's go to Edgar in San Diego, where I grew up. Hi, Edgar.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. Hey, Steve. I got into Western Union for dividend, and I am about 35 to 45% down. Is it time to let it go and do do something else, or should I hang in?
Western Union, everybody. It's a $4 billion company. It provides money transfers and payments via 550,000 agent locations in more than 200 countries and territories. I don't like Western Union. I don't like their business model. I think their business model is outdated because you've got now PayPal and Venmo, and you got all these different ways to transfer money anywhere in the world. You don't need 550,000 agent locations anymore. So I think their business model is now antiquated, even though the stock price is very cheap and they do pay a very large dividend, but their earnings, the sales are going down, earnings are going down. I am just not keen on Western Union. I just don't think the business model has a future. They got to change. They got to do something. And I don't know if they're going to do something, okay, to make themselves more relevant. So I probably get out, even though they pay a really nice dividend and not a very expensive stock. It's a very low-priced stock, actually. $10 stock going to make $1.63. So, it's 6 PE or so. Very low price. But I'm not keen on the stock. I'm really not. Appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Edgar. Okay, well, Justin Klein and I have been telling you for a while now that we are in a new market environment. Cycles are a natural part of almost everything in life, and we're in a bear market cycle. How long will bear markets last? Usually 1 to 3 years. So we're 1 year and 3 months into this one. Okay, so it can last longer. I don't think it's going to last 3 years, but I don't know that for sure. If you're a serious investor, though, you adjust to the times that you're in. You got to fit the portfolio to the times. That doesn't mean you go sell, get out of stocks. You should already be well diversified, but you do and can lean on different types of stocks to try to weather the weakness. Okay, and you just have to understand the cycles. And of course, we do at KPP Financial. We don't have a crystal ball or anything, but we certainly, you hear us on the radio. What's nice about KPP Financial is you don't have to guess what we're thinking. We tell you every day, we tell you what we think. And then you can compare that with what's going on, what's actually fact. Okay? You can do that. I'm not saying we'll be right all the time, but, we're pretty good about this. So, if you want KPP Financial to help you manage your portfolio, we'd be happy to take a look at what you have, talk about the risks involved in your portfolio, talk to you about how much risk you want to take, and we will match your risk with what you should be taking and what you want to take. Now, make sure your portfolio is properly diversified on the risk level that you like. That doesn't mean you have to be in the market. You don't have to be in the stock market. You don't. If that's not something you want to do. We have very conservative portfolios to talk about if you want to. It's up to you. We want to help you. All you do is call us, and we'll help you. About 10 minutes worth of your time, and you'll understand that we're really here to help you. We'd be happy to do it. Okay? The sooner you contact us, the sooner you'll get that help. So contact us. You can contact us various ways. Go to our website, call our offices, Irvine, California. On our website, you just hit contact us. It's an email that comes directly to us. Tell us what you want. We're happy to do it. Okay. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasen. We have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom. And our work continues after this break. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein and Steve Beasley are ready to take on your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Okay, when people take the time to leave an InvestTalk podcast review on iTunes, we'd like to thank them for their courtesy by getting to their question quickly. Adrian from Texas writes, I hope to hear from your thoughts on GT. Also, what monetary hits come with selling stock short in a Roth IRA? Can it be calculated? Yes, it can be calculated. Selling short is something that I would not suggest for many people because you have to have a, be pretty knowledgeable about that. Selling short people means you sell the stock, you borrow somebody else's stock and sell it today on with the idea that you'll buy it back later and give it back to them at a lower price. Okay, lower price. So you want the stock to go down in price because you can buy it back at a lower price and give it back to them and you can pocket the difference. That's selling short and it's not for 99% of the people out there. You don't even try it. Don't need to. GT is Goodyear Tire and Rubber. Of course, it is a cyclical stock attached to the economic cycle. And of course, it's attached to all cars, right? How many cars are being sold and, you know, how the economy is going. So it manufactures rubber-related chemicals for transportation and industrial markets. It's going to make $1.06 this year. It made $1.30 last year. Next year, it's going to make $1.66. It's a $10.55 stock, so it's a low price. And I would be much happier thinking about owning it if it paid a dividend, but it doesn't. And the return on equity is only 7%. That's too low for me. That's not good enough. And they have debt. I don't like that either. Now, cash flow is very strong at $4.22. That's good. And they're still growing their sales in the single digits, but they're still growing. But if we do have an economic slowdown, this will affect them directly. So I'm not that keen on Goodyear. I wouldn't be something I would want to be. You know, I'd be interested in. Just not. Okay? Okay, Tesla, since we're talking about cars. We're also talking about Tesla, you know. Everybody knows who Tesla is, one of the darling stocks, even though it's an automobile maker, and it shouldn't be, but it is. They had a record first quarter in sales, and they increased their deliveries 4.3%. But there's a kind of a cloud overhanging this company right now, and that's called inventory. Okay, their inventory has exploded, meaning their unsold autos that they have that can't not being sold. They make them, but they're not being sold. They're not growing fast enough to get rid of that inventory. And a lot of analysts think this is very significant, and they are really worried about price cuts to move their inventory. Well, why would that be a bother? Because price cuts cut right into profits. And auto companies notoriously in history, maybe not Tesla, but historically, their price margins are not that big, okay? And if they have to cut prices, you know, because they want to get rid of their inventory, that's a big issue for Tesla. So I'm just reporting the news. Tesla has been one of those stocks that done nothing but go up for years and years and years and years. Even when they have some points years ago, they were so in debt, it didn't look like they'd ever be able to get out of it, but they did. So they're still a strong, growing company. Yeah, I'm not suggesting you just get out. I'm suggesting that you're going to see some weakness in their profits if they have to discount their cars to move their inventory. And that's one of the problems with all auto companies. You know, sometimes they have inventory issues. And that's one of the reasons why you like to look at the inventories when you think about buying an auto company. I have never been very keen on auto companies as their stocks. I don't think I've ever owned an auto company stock. I just don't like them. I don't like that they're economically sensitive. I don't like the debt that they carry. And they always generally pay a dividend, and they shouldn't if they have lots of debt. I just don't like the business model, I guess. I don't like it. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein, I thank you for listening. And we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about us, about our free podcast downloads. Everything's free. It's always free. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes. We would appreciate that. Remember to follow InvestTalk on social media. It helps us. And everyone in the InvestTalk community, it will help everyone. Independent thinking, share success, everybody. This is InvestTalk. Have a good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.